الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was meant for the ummah as Bashir, one to give glad tidings, and a Nadir, a warner. Quran, Allah tabarak ta'ala describes Quran as the same. It comes to give glad tidings, that's the verse we heard. وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. That this entire Quran, and especially Surah Kahf, it has come to give a glad tiding. Normally, who you give glad tidings to? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu. Ammar bin Yasir. So his mother was Sumayya radiallahu anha. She was martyred in a very brutal manner. And he would have known how his mother was martyred through the private part. It was not something that... And then his father was martyred. Now when you want to go and tell him, take it easy, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, sometimes he would say, Sabran ya ala Yasir. O family of Yasir, sabr. And sometimes he would say, glad tidings to you, O Ammar. Glad tidings. Why glad tidings you give? You give to a person who's going to go through a very hard time. But you tell him that I already saw your end. I have already seen your end. Surah Kahf, the place where it comes in Quran also is unique, in the center. In the center. Because normally when you need help is when you're not close to the ends, but you're far from the beginning. You're climbing a mountain. Many a person starts in the madrasa. You get in the first year of the madrasa, lots of students. But after 2 weeks, they're gone. Gone. Some couldn't manage the cold, some couldn't manage the dal. For some people, dal is like a, that word dal is like a swear word. A student comes, he sees dal is gone after it. But then he pulls, pulls, it's getting hard. Now when a boy comes to the middle, that's when he just needs someone to tell him, you only got 3 years left. Because now you're at the top, middle of the mountain. You tell the person, you're going to go down now. You still have to climb down. You rather carry on top. But at that time when a man is climbing a mountain, you'll understand it if you ever climbed a mountain. There's a time where you reach and you're tired. But now you can't go back. In Mauritius we visited one place which is called, I don't know what you call it, like a death rope or whatever. So what it is, it's a piece of wood that just moves from one side till the other. And then you have on the side, you can hold on to the thing. You are tied to something. So if you slip, you're not going to die. Or you're not supposed to die because you're tied. But your mind will never tell you you're tied. Because you're looking down at the swinging bridge. So between you and the bottom in your mind, there's nothing except that one plank. And as you move now, that plank, it's one plank. So as you move, it swings with you. That's why the law there is when you go, a pregnant woman, a person with heart problems, you can't walk it. Although you're so safe, that even if you leave your legs like this, you'll still hang. You can't, nothing's going to happen. So we came to it when there was another couple in front. And Allah's kindness, the man told us, you know, if you want to, you can go now. Or just wait a little. And that couple will finish. And then you go. But for the excitement, you always say, no, let me start now. And then the man said, you know, I'm not so sure if it can manage everyone's weight. Allah's kindness, lucky he told us. Then that one woman who was in the front got stuck. And what I understood from the whole journey was, we saw her right at the beginning when we reached the place. She just got married that day. She just, her husband brought her here, they took pictures, she had bride clothing, whatever. And now he's taking her to give a heart attack. Now she's walking and there's a whole group behind her and she got stuck in the middle. Because that thing starts and she starts screaming. And as she's not moving, it's swinging for everyone. And the people behind are screaming also because... And the husband, he's holding her and telling her, you know... And we can actually hear her saying, I want to go back. And that's when he's telling her, you can't go back. Because you're in the middle. Whether you go front, you go back, it makes no difference. And Allah's kindness, then the rain came. And in the rain, the wind, and as it's moving, that woman, I think she'll say, my worst day, honeymoon, was the worst in my life. Right there, that's when I understood. When you're in the middle, when you're in the middle, you need someone to really help you. Next to it, there was another bridge which we never want to use. That was of steel. Because one was of steel, it's the easy one, one is of wood. So naturally, when you reach there, you say, I'd rather take the wood one, because if I do it once in my life, you mustn't feel after that, you know, I did the baby one. But that one, I mean, it's the same thing. The worker, to give this woman courage, he went walking on the steel one, just with his hands. Meaning he never tired himself. I don't know if you can understand this. When we did it, we tied with steel. And still you're taking your steps slowly and reading your kalima. That worker went walking to come to the middle there to speak to the woman, say, take it easy, telling the husband, take her slowly, slowly. And I'm looking at him, one slip, because you only got so much. And it can at any time move. And he walked there, he gave us targheeb, courage. And then he walked back like nothing. And then when he came back, I told him, you never even tie yourself. He said, the secret to survive this thing is to act calm. When you walk calm, nothing will happen. It's when your body panics that you collapse. So that's a very long example I gave you, so I put you in the middle now. Now Surah Kahf. Surah Kahf came to meet us in the middle. It came to meet us. Maybe because me and you are going to see an era now where you will find many people panicking. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about this ummah will see a fitna. It will leave the tolerant person also confused. يَجْعَلُ الْحَلِيمَ حَيْرَانِ. It will leave the tolerant person, meaning a man who always knew the answer. But now you go to him and he's lost. You say, Hazrat, can I help? Can you help me? And he's just quiet. You say, Hazrat, what's wrong? He says, in my own family there's a problem at the moment. I was helping you out. I got a problem in my family. Have we entered that era? And is it going to get even bigger? There was a time where a Muslim who regarded himself with the Muslim face, meaning if I got a kurta, if I got an imama, I got a beard, if I'm a girl in niqab, I'm from a good family, then even if there was something at that time called the movies, but if everyone was speaking about the movie, the pious guy, he was in tabligh, he was in the khanka, he would just listen like, to look what happened in that movie. Telling you don't want to go, he said, no way. No way. A movie. Forget whether age restriction, not cartoon, comedy. Say, me and the movie. Say, you don't want to go. He would even speak against it and say, how can you go movies? That was. If a club came, a rave, then even the one who went to the movie would not go to the rave. Because he will tell his friends, I know my limits. Rave, that's hectic stuff. They worship the devil then. They worship the devil. And if a person had to say, let me introduce you to open pornography, then even the man who's like regarded as the bad guy, he would say, I know my limits. And if it was a married couple, Then technology came to a new level. Where he said, if you don't want to come to us, we'll come to you. And how it came. How it came. But we now have entered that phase, which if someone has to say, in the pyramid going up to what is called one eye, in the unfinished pyramid, if you have to look at a $1 bill, you'll understand a lot of things from it. Because the shaitani world loves to give messages. Satanic messages is everywhere. It's just some people see it and say, I wonder what this means. It doesn't make sense. And another person sees it and says, it makes a lot of sense. For one person, he says, can't be. So you'll ask, so why did they put a pyramid where they're America? And the pyramid got to do with Egypt. Why they had to put the pyramid? Egypt supposed to say, you can't steal my pyramid. You can't steal my pyramid. You got no pyramid. But they put the pyramid. And on top of the pyramid, they put one eye. And then they wrote a message, may the Lord be happy with what he sees. She says, just by inspiration. They ask, who made this picture? They will say, the founding fathers of the United States of America were all Freemasons. So how are they all Freemasons? So a lot of things happened. But in that pyramid, it goes up. That going up has a lot of meanings. One meaning is the people on the lower step will not know what the people one step above them are up to. So the people on the lowest ground, he'll just think Freemasonry is something small. But there is someone in the world who knows a little more and is more rich, more powerful. But he wants to make one step higher. As you rise in the steps, it becomes more narrow. And you have to do more. You have to do more. And on the way, if any person hears, sometimes even Muslims become Freemasons. Allah save us all. I went to one place, after Isha we were having, we call it a braai, you call it a barbecue. So the person said, tell us about Dajjal. I said, the best place to speak about the jinn is by the braai. I said, first I'll show you how jinn look. Because in a braai you see fire. The jinn is made of a smokeless fire. So he's not the fire of the braai. But I said, let me explain to you how it works. So you see, when you have a braai, you don't ever put the meat there when there's fire. First you let the thing burn, burn, burn. And then when it seems the fire is gone, there's no fire. It's the coal that's hot now. I don't know if you all do braai. They say South Africa can do a braai better than the rest of the world. That's what they say. So if you want a challenge, try it. And I went to another town, or the first thing they said, we're having a barbecue. I said, I think you took the challenge. South Africa is masters at giving a braai. But the one law they tell you, you can't have fire. So you burn the coal until the fire goes. That's when you put the meat. But is the fire gone? Everyone knows the fire is not gone. It's just you can't see it. So I took that fat. In meat you have fat. And I dropped it. And when you drop it from nowhere, you just see fire coming out. Because that flesh or that fat of the meat is the food of the fire. If you touch that coal, then you realize this thing is hot. But it's not there. I said that the Dajjali fitna is like this braai. As long as we will see fire, it will burn no one. As long as we will see fire, it will burn no one. So what it will do is, it will take away its fire. Allah's Nabi said, when he will come to you, he will come to you with water. He said, but when you will see that river of his, which you will think it's water, he said, know it is fire. Know it is fire. Meaning that which you think will satiate your quest, that's going to burn you. Let's repeat it. That which you think will satiate your thirst. This is water. What is water? I'm thirsty. Who's thirsty? My nafs. My nafs wants more. So he will show you something which you feel in this I will get the fulfillment of my lust. It will look like water. But he says when the man puts his head there to drink that water, it will burn him. It will be the fire. It will be the fire. So I mentioned that to the person. 1 week later, he sent me a message. In that very week, they sent him an invitation to join Freemasonry. So the Muslims also become Freemasons. But they become on the first step. Thereafter, if you're doing well, they invite you for a party, a meeting, and they take you to the second. But somewhere along the line, you have to get ready to do things which nobody else can do. And then if you say, I don't want this, I can't do this, there's a law. They say, there's no getting out. Meaning, we never told you to enter. But now that you're in, if you're going to go against us, you'll lose everything. And I met certain people who pulled away from Freemasonry. And they lost everything. They lost everything. But their iman was not going to allow them to lose their iman. I spoke in one country about Freemasonry. After the bayan, the muazzin came to me. He said, I was the Freemason. And he said, I had gone very high. And people never knew why I was so rich. And when they asked me to do that which I could not do, he never mentioned what it was. And I refused. He said, the person who brought me into the thing, never even get angry. He just told me that it's your choice. It's your choice. He says, but remember, those who brought you up can bring you down. He said, and I left nicely, they did nothing. He said, but after that, whatever investments I had made started collapsing. He said, I lost everything. The wife who was used to living that life, she left me. She left me. He became a muazzin. We don't know what she became. I have a feeling she even married someone who was like out of the fold of Islam and she lost her iman. It seems because if I join the puzzle together where I heard of this one and I heard of that one, but Allah knows best. But he said, I chose to become a muazzin. He lost everything. This verse now that I'm telling you. وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Quran comes to say, you will find yourself at a difficult spot. This fitna of Dajjal is not something small. For Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not have become so worried about it for his ummah. And as we come towards the ending, it goes now to its final. When Dajjal will show himself, Christians will no longer be his target. And Jews won't be his target. Hindus won't be his targets. So who will be his target? There is one group left, me and you. One group. Whoever hasn't yet fallen, the effort will be made now to grab. So I will give you a few examples of what this grab is going to be. So if me and you in our life see it, and already we are on one edge of it, then sometimes they say, if someone told you about the enemy, you pick it up. If you ever went hunting, that lion will be in the bush, but you won't see him. You won't see the lion. Because he becomes part of the area around him. But someone who's good at spotting will pick up the lion because of something. Maybe the twitch of the ear. What you couldn't see, you looked at the same thing. Then the man will say, there's a lion there. Then when you look, somebody will ask, where? Then when you see it, it becomes so clear that you wonder, how did I miss it? I will give you one, two examples. May Allah make it that you also become like it. That when I will show you the Dajjaliyat, after that you won't miss it. You also will be able to say, there's it. You must also be it. Because a man who is oblivious will walk right into the lion. Right into the lion. And the lion will just sit. Until when you're too close, game over. But the man who showed you from beforehand, and he even shows you how to spot it. Dajjal means deception. So the first thing to understand is what I expect of Dajjal, he's not that. What I expect of Dajjal, he's not that. So if I expect a monster, he's not a monster. He's a normal man. If I expect someone with one eye in the head, middle of the head, he's not that. He's a normal man. If I expect someone who's going to be anti-Muslim, he's not that. He will be pro-Muslim. Because we are his target. His desire will be now me and you must also follow him. So he will not be calling for war in the Middle East. He will be calling for peace in the Middle East. He won't say start the war. He will be saying end the war. Because you need a man who the Jew says, that man is the man to rule. But that same man, the Muslims have to say, that man is the man to rule. So for the Jew, Muslim, Christian, everyone to link up to one man. In recent years we saw war. Before the war started, there was a sentence that went out in their own circles. Make so much war in the world that everyone is now thirsty for peace. And when that thirst reaches levels, they will become happy with peace no matter what the price. I want you to think about the sentence as we move towards this. Every time when Trump and Iran again going peace and war, and the price of petrol and diesel goes like this, and people's hearts go like this, then everyone is saying, please, peace. Even if Donald Trump says, to get peace in the world, you all must be ready to make me the head of the peace board. The whole world will say, Allah, make him the head. As long as we get peace, no matter what the price. No matter what the price. When the world will move for total peace, you will hear of something called an Abrahamic Accord. Abrahamic Accord means can all the religions linked to Ibrahim a.s. Christian, Muslim, Jew live together? Answer is always yes. But this will be a sentence where a lot of batil will be intended. It means can you Christian, Jew and you Muslim all agree on one leader? But that leader has to be a leader who unites with all of us. Ask AI. AI talks lots. Ask AI, which is the correct religion? Because AI is the last step before Dajjal shows himself. In their own circles they would say, by this year, one AI must take over the whole world. That AI will be. Ask AI, which religion is correct? AI will give an answer which Dajjal will give also. That I do not feel it correct to mention which religion. All religions are good. It got to do with you. Dajjal will be the same. Dajjal will be the promoter of peace. So Hindu, you also okay. Muslim, you also okay. Let's live happily ever after. That will be one. What you're not expecting Dajjal to be, he will be. His clothing will not be the clothing of a monster. So in our circles, whenever we translate Dajjal, we translate Antichrist. Dajjal will not be Antichrist. Antichrist means one who is against Isa a.s. A man who will come and say, I hate Jesus. Dajjal will not do that. Nabi s.a.w. described him, Al-Masih al-Dajjal. He will be the false Messiah. false Messiah, whatever Isa alayhi salam did when he came the first time, Dajjal will do it now. So Isa alayhi salam wore the clothing of Isa alayhi salam. It's like a jubba. A jubba with a little hat. Dajjal will wear the clothing of Isa alayhi salam. Isa alayhi salam had no permanent house. Dajjal will have no permanent house. Isa alayhi salam had no wealth. Dajjal could be the head of the whole world. But if someone says, you got a house, you say, I live like a hermit. I live a very simple life. At the moment in the world, those who are so close to him as agents, they follow their sheikh in everything. They follow. One man that everyone knows is called Elon Musk. He owns perhaps the most in the whole world. Ask him, do you own your own house? Do you own your own house? And he'll give reasons why he hasn't got a house. The only main reason is following his sheikh. Following his sheikh. Dajjal will not. Have you ever seen Elon Musk speak against Muslims in a manner that says, kill them? He won't do it. He will not do it because you have to follow me. I will help you and I will help you and I will help you. Dajjal will be even more deceptive. Even more. I will help you all. يُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَسَ Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will be that loving person that if a child is born blind, he will be the one going to the child to rub his hand over the child. And with the rub over the eye, he will bring back the sight of the child. He will not be killing the Muslim child. He will be telling the mother, I have come to help your child. Before that time comes, me and you have to understand medicine, health, wealth, everything is important. But Iman is the most important. And if I find a person or a system that can give me my health, but at the expense of my Iman, can give me wealth at the expense of my Iman, Allah's Nabi said, at a time where the world will be facing a unique drought, and we might see that drought. We might even see the beginning of it in the next few years. Said before Dajjal, the world will experience three periods of droughts. In the time of drought, even if you're very strong, you lose lot. When you lose lot at that time, whoever gives a helping hand, you grab it. At that time, the man will say, once upon a time, I would never have followed this. I would never have followed it. But at the moment, you know what? It's not easy. وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Quran has come to give glad tidings to the people of Iman who do good deeds, that Allah has kept for you a reward which will never end. Me and you have never seen difficulty. In the Middle East, people saw difficulty. We never saw. But everyone's exam comes one day. So remember so much. That's for the future. And we might see it. One man calling for world peace. Looking so nice. The best healer. The best talker. The most intelligent. The most powerful. A man who everyone loves. If ever we see it, remember who everyone loves is the man I mustn't love. And already prepare yourself for it. Whoever becomes followed, make sure I don't follow him. Whoever becomes followed, youngsters will speak about this man. You know how many followers he got? That's when you have to say, but I'm not the follower. This whole thing was to prepare people to follow. Follow a person. Because it gets closer, closer, closer until the whole world follows one. Whenever you will hear of a person with million followers, I must be the one that's not the follower. Because if I follow, I'm following power, I'm following intelligence, I'm following wealth. Dajjal will be the epitome of that whole thing. He will have it. And if I'm following the one at the ground, I'm going to follow the one at top. If you bite at the small, you're going to bite for the big. Don't follow. In the principles of Surah Kahf, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala gave about 5 principles. That if you want to save yourself from this, among the principles is, وَتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ. That which has come to you from your Allah, read it. So Quran. وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ. Then you will find in every place certain people who are different from everyone. In your own town, in a nearby town, a man who people will just say, he's a man of Allah. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, go put yourself in their company. Go hold yourself. It might be once a week, once a month. Other people will say, this man is like a madman. He got nothing to do with the world. Only Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, you hold yourself in his company. Principle 2. Principle 3. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. There will be certain people in the world who we have made their heart totally negligent from our remembrance. He says, you make sure you don't become a follower of that person. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. He's a man who only runs behind his desires. He says, you don't be his follower. Think of this. We are in a world where everyone follows. What I will say in the next 2 minutes is a little bit tricky, especially for this country. To make a man follow someone, you either use wealth, you use power, you use beauty. Today the whole world is running on this. They're following people. You use sport. You use sport. It's an acquired capability. He's a good player. You can't deny it. He kicks well. He bowls well. He plays well. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala ever said, but I don't want you to follow him. وَلَا تُطِعْ. If I had to say it, you might get upset. But we all have that love for Quran, that if my Allah said, where you don't want to be, stay. It's not easy to be in the company of pious people. You sometimes feel they're out of this world. Says they're talking like things in the heavens, I'm living on earth. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says, we know that. وَصْبِرْ sabr. You know, he says, make sabr. Say, just hold yourself in their company. Because as you will sit, you will sit. People used to go to Jalalabad. Murana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali. So a young child came also. So he looked at the child, he smiled. His talks were very high talks. But the child was young. He said this to the child. Stay with me for a while and I will make you old. Stay with me for a while, I'll make you old. What he meant is, in a few days, I will give you a level of maturity which even the old people don't have. In their company, you see the world different. But out of their company, if I follow a star, first it was a soccer star, football star, same thing, cricket star. This whole thing got to do with a star. I'll give you some, you might laugh. The most powerful tool that the world is going to see now in the internet is called Starlink. What's Starlink? Link to the star. Have you ever heard of the Star of David? This word star you will hear a lot about. X you will hear a lot about. Yesterday I gave an example, some people looked up. Another person came back and he told me, hey, my son said it's true. I said, Apple. Apple. In our country, between the ulama, the fight is always, are you Android or are you Apple? That's all. So there's nothing wrong with Apple. But Apple is, and Android, they're all the same. The devil leaves his mark everywhere. And it's nice to see those marks. Because then when you use it, at least you know what you're touching. So I told him, I want you to look at your apple. And maybe you will see it's a button apple. So the button apple in their books is, according to their story, Adam alayhi salam was told not to eat from an apple bush. Whether it was or not in their stories, they call it the forbidden apple. And then when he bit the apple, that's when he lost all his clothing. When he bit, that's their story. I want you to look at your apple now. And if you see the bite, meaning your apple is not a full apple, then it's a message that bites and you're gone. Bite my apple and all your izzat is gone. That's how you look at that phone. If you see that sign, internet, world wide web, the one who sees it won't fall. But the one who doesn't see it will bite. So I'm not telling you, you can't use technology. We are going to enter into now the era of AI. Remember I said at the beginning when they said one AI will rule the world. AI is supposed to mean artificial intelligence. There's a lot of things in this AI that even a normal man, when he will use it, will pick up. I need it so much. But it's beyond understanding. It's beyond understanding. It controls me. It understands me. It is me. It got my secrets. It's better than me. Finally, it says to me, you are hopeless. And I am everything. What AI wants to get to at the ending? Adam alayhi salam was taught, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَى. Adam alayhi salam was taught the unique qualities of everything. And then the angels were told, you know this, you know that. The angels said, we don't know. Allah Ta'ala said, but my Adam knows. Make such statue. Iblis refused. Iblis, you have made him of sand, and I am fire. Fire will never make sajda to sand. This whole world is on that now. That fire will never bow to sand. Sand will bow to fire. So you will see whether it's the Olympics. Sand, man, will carry the fire. In sports, at the beginning, middle, end of every ceremony, there will be some satanic thing. Maybe an animal, maybe a cow, maybe a bull, and you will see everyone going sand to the gods, to the fire. The fire will rule. Statue of Liberty. Liberty, man, woman, with the fire. That the fire is higher. That's my honor. But what about knowledge? AI is to show a time will be in the world where man, with all the intelligence Allah has given him, whenever he needs to know something, he will have to ask something else. That something else is not the jinn, but it is not disconnected from the jinn. AI is that final step where the jinn be able to come to a point where it says, you man now, understood your place. That without me, you cannot do anything. I control your mind, your wealth, your business. I am in charge. And then to reach that point where one AI can rule the world. So final, I will give you some guidelines as we enter into the era of AI. How to navigate. And this is why Surah Kahf came. Advice, ideas. So point number one. This whole thing got to do whenever something has to be done. Ask technology. Ask AI. AI knows it. AI. A believer will always start with Allah's name before anything else. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the barrier between man and the jinn, the barrier between man and the jinn is Bismillah. He said, even if you're taking out your clothing, it will not be able to see your naked body if you took Allah's name. The barrier between man and the jinn is Bismillah. If ever I'm going to use my phone, I'm going to use AI, I'm going to use the computer, and I live in it. Nothing stops me saying, A'udhu billah, minash shaytani rajim, or saying Bismillah. Nothing stops me. But you will see no one does it. The one who will take Allah's name, the barrier between man and the jinn, is the name of Allah. Your izzat will not be taken. Your izzat will not be taken when Allah's barrier comes. Take Allah's name, one. Number two, Surah Kahf. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if Dajjal comes physically in front of you, the one who had read Surah Kahf on a Friday will be put in such a protective tablet, lam yadurra, that Dajjal will not be able to harm him. Not be able to harm. We're living in that. If you have never read Surah Kahf, start reading it. Even if you don't understand it. And if you understand it, if you understand it, and get books which explain Surah Kahf, get it. Because there's something in the surah. Something in the surah. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimullah wrote on Surah Kahf. I wrote a book on Surah Kahf. In my book, I put part of his book. But he writes, when he wrote on Surah Kahf and he sent it to his Arab friends who had seen in the Middle East what was happening, he says, they wrote to him, they were mashayikh, Arab mashayikh. They said, Surah Kahf reading was a thing of our parents. We took it as a custom, ritual. It's a thing for Friday. Then they said, oh Sheikh. They said, oh Sheikh, you have opened our eyes to the power of the surah. The man says, I write this letter to you, where Quran is now open in front of me, and a marker is at my Surah Kahf. He says, I now look at the surah, and in it I see what's happening in the world around me. There's something in the surah. But even if you don't know the meaning, start with the reading, and then go to the meaning. Go to the meaning. Bismillah or A'udhu Billah before gadgets. You will yourself pick up the filth in the gadgets. You will see AI when it talks and you will tell him, you liar. And AI say, I do not lie. Say, I do not lie. You'll pick it up. You'll use it still. But you will already understand, you evil. I don't trust you. I use you, but I don't trust you. Surah Kahf. The third, and perhaps that's the hardest, but Allah make it comes to all of us. Wudu. To be able to stay in a state of wudu. Before sleeping, to sleep with wudu. The amount of people who complain nowadays, especially after COVID. COVID started this whole thing. There was no 5G, AI could not do what it had to do. 5G came into the world with COVID. How it happened, what's the link, it's its own story. In that COVID to now period, that's why when COVID came, the papers that came out with COVID, wash your hands. At the bottom, they had a mark there. Vision 2030. Vision 2030. Only those who look for it saw it. You will go look for it today. I never saw it. Go look for the old posters. You'll see Vision 2030. COVID said we're all going to die. They knew no one's going to die. Everyone wasn't going to die, but a lot of Iman was going to die. Vision 2030. We're very close to 2030. A lot of things are going to happen in the next few years. So many people from COVID complain when they sleep, they see funny dreams. They see snakes. Naturally, you end your night before sleeping with the phone. You answer all your messages before sleeping. Allah's Nabi said, the one who reads Quran at night will not be written from the negligent. But he's not reading Quran. He's answering everything. The best time to look at your chats, to look at your clips, to look at those shorts. It's the night. Tell the man, put away your phone at night. He says, I sleep with sound. I need my phone. I told the students, we're not letting you keep the phone at night. Because we caught them, World Cup started, game over. Like, no one's sleeping, they're watching the match. Took away the phone. The next day, they never woke up for Fajr. We went there, I shouted them, I said, without the phone, you must Fajr. He said, I got no alarm clock. I said, buy an alarm clock. All of them looked at me like you get an alarm clock. What's an alarm clock? The phone is the clock. They buy a clock. They all look at me like, what's a clock? So you get a clock. They're all Muslims. There's no alarm clock. That thing has become our beginning and end. It wakes me up. It puts me to sleep. Said, I sleep with sound. I wake up with it. I live with it. At that time, you tell the person, what else do you want to see but snakes in your dreams? What else? The one who makes wuzu and sleeps, it comes in a narration. At night, his soul will make tawaf of the arsh of Allah. It can go so high. So high. Stay with wuzu. Stay with wuzu. And if the wuzu breaks, there's no water at that time. In certain ahadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's wuzu, he went for istinja. And then that's a land where there wasn't water, like how we got water. So you normally wait, and he also told the person, I wasn't ordered that every time I come out from toilet, I must make wuzu. Because immediately they brought water for him. He said, I wasn't ordered. He wanted to teach them. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he would always make wuzu. So someone complained, they said, you saw Ibn Umar. He got wuzu, next salah is making wuzu again. He got wuzu. He says, Allah's Nabi would not make wuzu like that. So they say, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu knows that initially Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered with wuzu for every salah. Even if he had wuzu. But when that was going to be difficult for the ummah. Difficult why? Because in deserts you don't have water. Allah's Nabi was then ordered with miswak for every salah. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu found within himself, however, strength. That I can manage wuzu for every salah. He says, that's why Abdullah bin Umar, and then the Rawi says, the narrator, till the day he died, he made sure he made wuzu for every salah, even if he had wuzu already. Which meant he kept himself with wuzu. Kept himself. Sleep with wuzu. Mujaddid al-Sisani, rahimullah, was a great sheikh of India. Great sheikh. He made a revolution. Then his progeny came, his children, grandchildren. They mention in the books, one day someone went out, the children were playing. He shouted at them, he said, namaz time, namaz time, go make wuzu. So the one boy just said, Sheikh, we are from the grandchildren of Mujaddid. We always have wuzu. We always have wuzu. If you're telling us, go make wuzu, we don't ever stay without wuzu. We always. But if you can't come to that, at least every salah, even if you got wuzu, make a clean, fresh wuzu. It will wipe away the traces of this gadget. It stays here in my pocket. It stays here. It's so close to my heart. It's in my mind. It's in my eye. It's in my finger. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you will make wuzu, ma'a akhiri qatril ma, with the last drop of water, the sin of that thing also falls away. Sometimes I feel the finger has made a lot of sins with this gadget. Lot of sins. The eye has made, the ear has made. Make a wuzu to wipe that away. Make a wuzu. Stay with wuzu. At night have wuzu. Three things I ask. Bismillah or a'udhu billah before using this gadget. Bismillah is the easiest. The barrier between me and the jinn. Put up the barrier. Second, Surah Kahf. And the third, how much wuzu we can make. And make it nicely. Where they say rub away the effects. A sunnah wuzu got to do with rubbing. Hard rubbing. Less water, more rubbing. Rub it away. Rub it, rub it, rub it. Because the dua at the end of wuzu is what? Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin. The dua in the middle of the wuzu. Allahumma ighfirli dhanbi. Allah forgive me my sins. Meaning this is my tawbah. I'm making tawbah now. Allah, take it away. At the end of the wuzu, Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin. Make me from those who make lot tawbah. Lot tawbah meaning what? The scholars say lot wuzu. Lot wuzu. Every time I wash it off. Every time I wash it off. Waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Until the time comes, Allah, make me from those who are able to make an effort to stay clean. That at the moment it's making me dirty. But I'm washing it. I'm even putting my hands. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam washing his face would make an effort to put it little bit by the eye. Because he would say, from the eye that drop that falls, that sin falls away. Me and you got lots of sins in the eye. Let it fall. Let it fall. May Allah Tawarakala save me and you. AI is also a fitna. As that pyramid goes to the top, we are very close to that ending. Start noticing it. A Dajjali fitna is a real thing. And me and you in our own lives might actually see the man himself. Surah Kahf, even if he comes in front, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he will not harm that individual. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.